Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down
at the Roundtable.
We've delved more deeply into these four books than any of our past choices for the, this is our sixth year doing Nice, and I think in the past five times we didn't quite, because, you know, everything was in person back then, we didn't have the opportunity to delve quite so deeply when we'd have our workshops and everything. But since this year, because of COVID-19, we've gone digital and virtual, and we've doing all of our recordings and our meetings and our discussions behind the scenes through Zoom, we've ended up with just a wonderful amount of, I don't know, what do you want, inspired discussion, I guess is what I would call it, about going into all kinds of themes that we've found crossed into each of these four books. And there was no way that we knew any of that was going to be what was happening this year when we chose these four books, but it's kind of amazing how we've found things to talk about and themes in these four books that really kind of echo and you know, mirror a lot of the current events and things that are going on within this COVID-19 era, time of disaster. I don't know, you know.
Right. Well, and not only the COVID-19 era, but I think particularly where we are with racial politics.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Much books for that.
Yes, and we've had some specific discussions on those issues, and I think I always like to say that we're going to, some of the themes and issues that we have found in these books come back over and over again in our discussions. Even when we've moved on to a different topic, we seem to come back to some other things that are just, they're just so prevalent. They're just so so there. So it's been a really, I'm so glad we're, first of all, I want to say I'm so glad that we're back together again to record, because I solo recorded a couple episodes a couple weeks ago for our podcast that delved into some of the issues that we find in our books this year for Nice, specifically domestic abuse and violence. And so I did a solo recording of a little background statistics and information for that, you know, but I'm so happy that I'm back with you, Sarah E., because I like recording with you better than I like recording by myself.
I'm glad to be with you, Alice.
Yeah, I've missed it. So now, here we are. We're going to talk about our four books and get really, really, really... This particular session might not be one of the most pleasant, but it certainly is thought-provoking, I think. We've got a lot to talk about.
So, As you have mentioned, all of our books do have overall kind of a patriarchal condensation.
Yes, we're I can edit that out, but I might leave it in because it's just so funny. Condescension or condensation? You choose.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, I know. It's like, yeah, we're drowning in condensation. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, right. The patriarchal condescension.
Towards
women, but, yeah.
right, by the guys.
Yeah, most of the male characters, really. And, I mean, partly because of when some of these books were written, or the time period in which they're set, as novels or whatever. But yeah, it's that's, you know, of course my eagle eye is gonna spot that patriarchal condescension. Condescension, I can't even say it now. You know, it's just it's kind of one of my triggers. So yeah, but these four books really are yeah, we've come back to that issue a lot, right?
But in addition to our feminist perspective, it's also just the violence of war.
Yeah.
Particularly in Gone with the Wind. And it's also there in Little Women, but I think it's particularly there in Gone with the Wind.
Yeah, and it's interesting, and we'll talk about this more, that those two books are set in a historical time period that is real, the Civil War era. The Civil War itself and its aftermath, and so at least a few years into its aftermath, and so two such different books, Little Women and Gone with the Wind, but they are set in the same historical time period, and so that's been very interesting this year to look at the characters and the happenings, the actions of the stories in those two books in a compare and contrast kind of way, and we'll talk more about that in a little bit. But we've also got some violence and situations of domestic abuse and domestic abuse being like the catchphrase for domestic violence and abuse includes things like financial abuse, emotional abuse, psychological abuse, physical abuse, it can be sexual abuse. It's a controlling aspect within a relationship where one party has the control and domination over the other party. And so when we say domestic abuse or domestic violence, that's an umbrella for all of those kinds of ways that a person can be abused in a relationship. Doesn't always mean that all those ways happen. You know, it could be a combination of any of those different types of abuse within a domestic situation. So I just wanted to clarify that right away before we talk about our delightful books in such horrible ways. We're going to talk about them in such horrible ways. So
right.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that is a very important caveat because when we view like this particular chapter in Little Women, we'll get into by those standards, mm-hmm. not abusive at all, the
exactly.
standards of the day.
Exactly.
But by the standards you just
yeah.
outlined, the financial control and things like that.
Well,
yeah, if we saw a relationship like that today, we'd be like, eh.
Yeah. And emotional and psychological control and abuse is very is only recently starting to be seen legally in court systems and everything as on par with physical or sexual violence. And I don't mean, you know, that somebody calls you a bad name, that's the same thing as being raped. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that legally, that kind of bullying, intimidating, controlling behavior when it's psychological and emotional manipulation and meanness, cruelty, you know, that has become, is becoming much more easy to prove in court if you are a victim. It's easier to make that part of the case. And judges and juries and lawyers and police are starting to see that kind of abuse, even though it's just words, if you will, is very powerful and horribly effective on the victim. And if you don't think that, think about bullying in school. Think about the things that kids say to each other that are cruel. I mean, when an adult is doing it, it's even worse. You know, it's just, it's that kind of abuse is also something that we do need to take seriously. And I think of all of our books, probably Gone with the Wind and Jane Eyre have the best examples of kind of that manipulation. Well, of course, Dracula, but he's a supernatural being, so it's always so hard to talk about Count Dracula in terms of abuse because he's not even human. But
he's a monster, yeah.
Exactly, he is a monster. But we have characters in some of our other books that act monstrously towards each other. Let's put it that way. And some of that is because of that patriarchal thing, and some of that is because of the time periods that those stories are set in. But these are all issues that have floated to the top in our discussions all this year as we've talked about these books. These are some of the things we've noticed and kind of want to address. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. For sure, we have talked about in Jane Eyre, the wife in the attic.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And Bertha is physically locked up. And that is can be tied into patriarchy and abuse that way. It can be tied into the abysmal way that people with mental illnesses were treated in the era.
Yes.
It is both. And I'm glad that we have delved into that in other episodes. What else would you like to add about
Well, about Bertha? Jane Eyre, I want to say, yeah, about Bertha in particular. If you think about if that was a headline in today's newspapers or, you know, TV news, if the headline was, you know, hidden wife locked in attic for 30 years, you know, I mean, this would be a scandal. This would be, there would be no excuse for this guy, whoever he was, that locked up a wife that way. Or, I mean, think of the headlines when it's been discovered that someone's had a child locked up from the time they were little and now they're 20-some years old, you know. I mean, to lock up another human being and hide them from, and so that, you know, this is it's breaking news, you know, in today's world because that somehow it's been exposed, right? He's been, the husband, the person, the abuser has been caught, you know, and the victim is being freed, this poor woman who's been locked up in an attic. And sure, the guy could say, well, she's crazy, I locked her up, but what if she just didn't, you know, want to make him breakfast one morning or something, and he locked her up for the rest of her life? I mean, we don't know, you know. So I mean, if you think about it in terms of that, if you think about the terms of this story where this man does not want the world to know that this woman is his wife, he especially doesn't want that first marriage to be revealed once he starts to fall in love with another woman and want to marry her, okay, this would be a scandal in the modern world, too, if this suddenly was revealed that some guy had locked up his first wife in his attic and was at the altar about to say his vows to another woman. You know, bigamy, right? First of all, bigamy, but second of all, wife in the attic, locked up, what? You know, so the whole hidden aspect, the secret aspect of Bertha in the context of the Jane Eyre book is what makes it creeptastic. That's my word for some of these these scenes that we're going to have. It's creeptastic that Rochester is willing to do that, and he successfully does it for a very long time, and it is only because Bertha's brother outs him when he's at the altar about to marry Jane. That's when Rochester gets caught. He would have gone through with that marriage, you know, and everything. So I think that although we're going to record a little bit about mental issues and kind of the senses of isolation and stuff like that, we have other themes coming up that's going to delve into Jane Eyre a little bit more deeply with this particular character and that issue. But I mean, by modern standards, it's horrific. It's creeptastic. It's awful. So.
And I think hand in hand with this, not that his actions are excusable, but just the stigma that went along with A, having a mental illness, B, being related to somebody with a mental illness. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were several families that would kind of hush up.
Oh, sure. That definitely wasn't a fictional thing. That was a real part of you know, culture. Yeah, European culture in particular. I mean, they definitely can't argue that Western European culture has not been favorable to any kind of deficiency, let us say that, whether and that crosses into physical or you know, mental or emotional issues. And we, like I said, we have plans to discuss all that in more detail, and I think it's worth talking about because even today, again, we always come back to all of our whole project is based on looking at older literature, classic literature, and finding how it relates and impacts and inspires us today. And so, you know, to say that in the modern standard, the stigmas of all kinds of physical illnesses, mental illnesses, emotional illnesses, chemical imbalances, whatever, you know, the stigmas are still there. And so we want to delve a little deeper in upcoming episodes with Jane Eyre in particular, with that. The mad wife in the attic is a topic we got to go into a little bit more, you know.
Right, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Join us next time as we continue our discussion in our four nice books, Jane Eyre, Gone with the Wind, Little Women, and Dracula. This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org.
We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.